Welcome, everybody.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker, your host, and I wish we weren't having this discussion today, but we're here, and we've got some pretty serious topics to talk about today, and we've got a great guest for that. But first, I do want to read a statement that I put out on Wednesday regarding the death of Charlie Kirk. I got to say this. In the strongest possible terms, I do condemn the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Let me say at the outset, I deeply disagreed with much of what he stood for, but disagreement, even passionate disagreement, should never be met with a bullet. Political violence is a betrayal of our country's promise. It does not honor our values. It desecrates and attacks the values that are the foundation of this nation. In the aftermath, we are going to hear voices that rush to plant their flag of victimhood, casting blame on those who they disagree with, trying to turn tragedy into a tool used for division. That path only weakens us. Violence is not owned by one party or ideology. It is a poison that corrodes us all. We cannot undo what has happened, but we can choose how we respond. We need to choose to reject hatred and turn away from blame. We need to strive together for a society grounded in equality, justice, and a respect for basic human dignity. Our charge is to pursue reform where it is so clearly needed, reconciliation where it is possible, and to continue the steady, unfinished work of building a more perfect union. And I don't think that I could have a better guest here this week to kind of talk about where we are and what happened than my guest here is Ken Sikora. He is the chairman of the Wisconsin Republican Party's 8th Congressional District. Before I ask how you're doing, I do need to say that I'm really glad you're here to have this discussion. And I give you a lot of credit for being here and having the courage to come and have a discussion. And I think we can have.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. I genuinely mean that. Yeah. I'm glad you're here. What do you hope to get out of this discussion today?
Well, I guess the first thing is simply the fact that we have to look at the root cause of these problems.
Sure. You
know, whether it's the school shootings, whether it's the murder on the subway that we saw, horrific. I mean, I have two young daughters, and if you watch that video, I'm sure many people saw it. Unfortunately, today's world, we have technology.
It's horrible.
See everything.
Yeah.
And in some ways, I'll be honest, after what happened to Charlie, I think this is good that we have these videos, because I think, you know, I look back as I wasn't born when Kennedy was assassinated. Yeah. All we have is a grainy video, you know, of his wife crawling on a car. Now we have just this in-your-face, horrible event. Mm-hmm. You know, the young Ukrainian girl being stabbed, bleeding to death on a subway. Charlie Kirk, you know, in the middle of a polite conversation, you know, being shot. And the images are horrible. And I think it's important that our youth can see this up close.
Yes.
I think this is shocking for them. They're used to video games. They're used to violence. But this is a whole different level. You know, these are not... None of these people, these children in a school shooting, we could go back to I believe she was the Senate president in Minnesota that was killed, you know. These are innocent people. We might not agree on politics. We might not agree on politics, but these are innocent people that were killed.
Yeah.
And it's shocking. It's one thing to hear that this happened. It's another thing when we see these videos.
Yeah.
And as horrible as it is, I hope that this brings a little bit of shock to people to say, well, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we have to figure out the root cause. It does no good if we say we can't have political violence. Most of this isn't political violence. It's just violence. You know, Charlie wasn't a political figure. He was never elected.
Well, he was a political figure.
He was a political figure.
He was a pretty big political figure.
But he wasn't an elected official that's making law,
right.
You know, that's affecting what... You know, one side or the other thinks it affected their livelihood or their income or something.
But I mean, Charlie Kirk built a huge empire.
Yeah.
to impact politics. I mean, yeah. I think to say he wasn't a political figure, I don't think he would want you to say that, because he was a very influential political figure.
I would call him more of a religious political figure, because he was able to take a value. You know, like most politicians are going to say what people want to hear. Yeah. On both sides, I don't care. Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest.
You know, which way is the wind blowing, right?
I listened to your interview less than a year ago with Lyerly and Tracy Mangold, and you know, all about the District 8 caucus. So, you know, I was not. It was not an easy election, because I'm someone that is as outspoken against my own party as I am against the Democrat Party.
Okay,
I believe that we have problems on both sides. And if we don't start addressing those problems, and we don't start to look at the root cause of those problems, we're never going to fix it, right? I think there's some on our side, the Republican side would be my side, which are very happy with these type issues. They don't care. Mm. There's money to be made.
Yes.
You know, there's people in our political side and people on the opposite side, I would say your side, that make money no matter what. They don't care who gets elected governor. They don't care who's gets elected Supreme Court.
Yeah.
There's money being made, political money.
Right.
And it's disgusting.
Yes, it is.
And so I'm very outspoken about that. I'm not happy with our speaker in this state. You know, I'm not happy with past speakers of the United States House, Paul Ryan. You know, I think these people did more damage than good. I'm also not happy with Nancy Pelosi or AOC either.
Really?
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
Yeah, right. I wouldn't have thought.
but we have to go and look and say, why, you know, why has this trend gotten worse? You know, why are we, why is it okay now to shoot people on national TV? Why is it okay to shoot kids while they're praying in a Catholic school? You know, if you watch the video of the speaker of the Minnesota House, she voted for a bill she didn't want to vote for. But that bill had some good things in it for her. Our side would say it had good things for us. And then she said, I'm voting for this. She was crying. She said, I'm voting for this reluctantly because there's good things in it and there'll be a price to pay. And a week later, she was dead. What does that say about either side? You know, it's scary. Like, she literally said that there's a price to pay. And I don't know if she thought she'd be shot. But
there's more of a political price, right?
Yeah, you know. So, you know, that it goes to the root problem. What's causing this?
What do you think?
I think, obviously we live in a world where you can watch everything live stream. Any knucklehead can go out there and blast whatever they want, right? And obviously the First Amendment protects us, and it's important.
Oh, yeah.
The Supreme Court has actually ruled you can yell fire in a theater as long as nobody gets hurt. Right. You know, which... Yeah, I mean, they do and don't agree with that. You know what I mean? So those are things we have to look at.
Yes.
But I do, unfortunately, I think a lot of your audience is going to disagree with this.
Sure.
I think there's a mental illness issue.
Okay.
I did hear in the last hour, it's being confirmed, I think, by CNN and the Charlie Kirk situation. There was writing on the bullet casing.
Really?
TGB. No, it was actually Antifa trans stuff. And, you know, you look at the shooter in the Catholic Church.
Yep.
You know, another one, the Tennessee shooter. They hid the manifesto. We know it was a trans person. I am not against anybody's sexual preference. I don't stand for that. We have lots of friends that believe differently than I do on that. But I do think we have to start to recognize that there are people that have issues, deep issues.
Are you saying like trans people have deep issues?
Yeah, I would. I do have to say that. I know that's not a popular statement.
That's definitely not a popular statement.
No.
But not a popular statement with me either.
Let's be honest. You know, I have a sister. I've heard you talk about your brother.
Yep.
I have a sister that's a lesbian.
Thanks for listening, by the way.
I did a little homework.
That's good.
I have a sister that's a lesbian.
Okay.
The funny thing about that situation.
What does she think?
She doesn't talk to me.
Okay.
Not because we've never had harsh words about her beliefs, right? But she believes that because I'm a Christian and I believe God made man and woman and to be in that order, that I hate her. I have no hate in my heart for her at all. But she literally, my grandmother died begging to talk to her. And she won't talk to her because she said she's religious and she hates me. That's sad. Like that's very sad. Because my father cries about my sister not talking to him. But she has a belief that he believes that she's done something wrong and he hates her. And I think part of that is we get into the societal belief that because we don't disagree or we don't agree, that we hate each other. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, tonight we're going to have a stadium full of Packer fans.
Yeah.
That probably vote, you know, half of that, maybe half of that stadium did vote, a third, a half vote, a quarter voted for Republicans and a quarter. They don't give a crap tonight.
Right.
They're going to go in there and cheer for the Packers. And that's one of the things I think is great about America, that we can do that. But we have to find that part in politics too.
Yeah. I think anything that we do in politics has to center around having respect for people for who they are, you know, and that includes the people of the LGBT who are the T. And, you know, I will admit when I was young, I didn't understand that. And, you know, I got to a place where I still don't understand what it means to feel like you're a prisoner in your own body. Is that a mental health thing? Well, yeah, probably. If you spend every day, you know, knowing that, so I'm grateful that there are outlets and there are things for people in that position to be able to live who they are. And for your sister, I mean, we grew up in a very religious household. I can't imagine how difficult it must be to know that people take the Bible in that sense, even though Jesus never said anything about gay people. But knowing that, hey, they're religious and they do think that I deserve less than them. You know, that's got to be hard. Would you agree, though, that's a hard thing?
Here's the problem with that statement is that none of us believe that they deserve less. Listen, I'm a born-again Christian.
Sure.
We're all sinners. I don't care whether you murder somebody, whatever crime it is. If you believe biblically, you grew up in a Christian household, you believe we're all sinners. There's no greater sin than one than the other.
Well, but for born-again Christians and for Christians in general, they believe that gay people, just being who they are, is a sin. And so you being with your wife, that's not a sin. But a gay person being with the person that they love, that is a sin. So it's not all created equal. Like that goes to the very fundamental core. Yeah, we're all sinners. That's a cop-out that I think a lot of people say, well, we're all sinners. Okay, well, but me going home to my wife is not a sin. And my brother or your sister going home to the person they love, that is. They're doing the same thing, right? That's kind of, you know what I mean?
I understand what you're saying.
You see that? Yeah.
But here's the question I would have for you.
Yep.
At what point, you know, as sinners, as us all being sinners,
yep,
does it make their sin, my sister's sin, worse than any sin I committed? Whether it's speeding on the way home or going home and liking my neighbor's, it's, you know, it's a sin to covet your neighbor's stuff. So I go home and go, man, I wish I had my neighbor's car. So I can be a sinner also. So my question is,
it's a sin to speed. It's a sin to steal. It's a sin to do that. Just being herself is a sin in the eyes of the church. We'll talk about this. We got Ken Sikora here on the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. We'll be right back.